Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Harry Koops will bring a message titled Excuses from Scripture found in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Well, good morning and welcome to all who've gathered in God's house to worship and praise the living God. I see there's a few people missing, so today we know who all the deer hunters are. You know, that's kind of a sacred day for some folks. But we're really glad you're here and we welcome you. It's a special time to worship and praise the living God, a God who is a loving God, who's a jealous God, a God who is a God of wrath. And so this morning's message is kind of heavy, but he's only a God of wrath when we worship other gods. And he's a loving and gracious God when we honor him. And that's why it's good to be here this morning, to lift up his name, to praise him. He alone is worthy. We want to greet all the folks that are visiting with us today. If you're guests with us, we say good morning. We're glad you're here. It's good to see you. And we trust that you're blessed through this time of worship and praise and adoration. And if you'd be kind enough to sign the guest book, there's one just on the other side of that wall back there. It's really helpful for our church secretary. If you sign that and if it's legible, you'll even get a little note in the mail this week that says, hey, thanks for coming. Come back again. And it's on the way to the coffee and the cookies. Now, it's not mandatory that you sign to get coffee and cookies, but we do invite you to stay for that time of fellowship, because that's an important part of worship as well. And then I want to greet all those who join us via Jethro Radio, and we're so grateful for that outreach, and we say good morning to you, and we're thankful that we can connect in that way. And then other folks join us via Jethro.fm, that's over the internet, and then we're on YouTube, and some folks get CDs. So there's lots of different ways to reach out to people, and our prayer is always that God uses this to touch people's hearts, to strengthen them in their journey, to equip them for the journey of life. To all who hear this, that join us through electronic means, but are able to join us in person, consider this your personal invitation. We meet live time Sunday mornings, 9:30. We're right there by Clyde Park in Burton, and we'd love to have you be part of our church family. We're a pretty informal group. You don't have to worry about, you know, how will I fit in. You'll be most welcome when you come here. And then hear these words from God for our call to worship. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything, in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. And here you got it. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Let's worship this God who loves us beyond what we can measure, standing to sing number 63, verses 1, 2, and 5, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it seems fitting that we would praise you. You are our creator. You are our redeemer. You are the one who sustains us. You are our all in all. You alone are worthy of our praise, and that's why we're here, to lift up your name. And we pray that the power of your Spirit will move in our midst and touch our hearts as only you can do that, to equip us for the journey of life, to prepare us for what the week holds, but also that through this, you are praised, and that this will rise as a sweet aroma into your heavenly throne room even this day. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who makes it all possible. Amen. Receive God's greeting. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we welcome Paul and Joyce Carmichael. I remember them when they weren't even married. Yeah. As special music, we're just glad you're here.
We are so happy to be here this morning, and thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Terry, for inviting us. My name is Paul, as Pastor said. My wife's name is Joyce. We're musical memories with Paul and Joyce, and God has given us the privilege of sharing his love in nursing homes, hospitals, senior living facilities, and so on. And it's great to be with you this morning. The first song that Joyce is going to sing has a story to it that relates, or that we can relate to. The young lady that wrote this song was engaged to be married at age 16. This was many years ago in the 1700s in Europe, Katerina von Schlegel. A couple of weeks before her wedding, her fiancé was killed in a horse and buggy accident where the horse was spooked, the wagon went out of control. And you can only imagine the effect that it had on that young 16-year-old lady. She went into seclusion, and while in seclusion, she wrote the words to this beautiful hymn, Be Still My Soul. Just over a month ago, Joyce and I were in the Upper Peninsula celebrating our second wedding anniversary, and an oncoming driver, Loskin, was distracted, came over into our lane and hit us head on. And the very fact that we are able to stand here today is a miracle of God's grace. Please listen to the words and listen and let your heart be encouraged as Joy sings, Be Still My Soul.
Listening on when we
His name was James Moore, pastor of a little country church, lived quite a distance away from his mom and dad, didn't get to see them often. One day he decided to take a break from ministry and go visit mom and dad. And when he walked through the front door at the old farmhouse, he was taken aback. He could not believe how much mom and dad had changed. How they had grown older. They weren't able to get around like they used to. Their memory was failing. He had a good visit, but it bothered him. He returned to his church, and a few days later in his study, he sat down and he wrote the words to this song. You know, the Lord Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And dear ones, this morning, there's coming a time, there is a place where we'll never grow old.
Never grow old, never grow old.
Well, thank you, Paul and Joyce, and we're really thankful, too, that you're here with us and that nothing real serious happened with that accident. And singing about that land where we never grow old, that's starting to sound better and better all the time. As we come before our God with our congregational prayer, I just want to give you a couple of updates on our church family. First of all, we want to remember Betty Holmes. She's still dealing with lots of health issues, but this past week was also moved to Clearstream Nursing and Rehab Center in Hastings. She's adjusting to that place, but it says it's been a tough week. It's just been hard. And then we want to remember Aria Bosman, who's adjusting to life at Intersect Health in Granville. That's the old Brookcrest, and that happened this past week too. And that's a big change for Aria. Her prayer always was that the Lord would call her home while she was still living in her own home. So we want to remember her at this time as well. And then John Rickaby, that's Carol Rose's husband. They're in Florida already. They're really scared of winter weather. They leave like the middle of October and come back in May. Anyways, we prayed for him last week. He had that WTI released from the hospital that was in Naples, but is back home there. Very thankful for your prayers and your concerns, and they feel like they're doing well. And then Ron and Jenny Benedict, we've been upholding them in prayer, but Ron is also a caregiver for a man named Charlie. We prayed for Charlie last week. He was in the hospital, was struggling with some pretty serious health stuff, and he also has returned home and is just really thankful for the folks here at 8th Reformed who have upheld them in prayer during this time. I just want to make two other announcements. One is the winter coat drive for Alpha. That's a real need in our community and in our city, and you've been very generous, and they've already been very appreciative of all the coats that you have dropped off. This Tuesday is the last day to drop them off here. After that, you can always bring them to Alpha. They're on Division right by Brown Street. But officially, the drive here from 8th will conclude this Tuesday. And then there's also a congregational devotional project. And I can't do it justice to tell you all about it, but if you read your bulletin, and I encourage you to read the bulletin. I know life gets busy, and sometimes you think you'll do it on Monday. Don't do it during the sermon, okay? But some other time. It's just good. There's a lot of information in there. And this one is about a congregational devotional project, and it's being headed up by Sandy Workman, Sally Harima, Mary Ruloffs, and Sue Takama is compiling it. And it's really like a devotional booklet. And what they would like you to do is just to give some input. Maybe there's something you would like to write about, a scripture verse that's really spoken to you, that's really meaningful. Maybe a poem that's really touched your heart. Anything that has touched your heart that's inspirational and biblical, they would like you to submit that. And then they're going to compile this. We have until the end of December to pull this together. And then in the springtime, hopefully, it'll come out as a published product. So do look at the details in the bulletin. That's pretty, they have good instructions there as what they're looking for. And I think this can be really, really beneficial. So let's come before our God with our congregational prayer. Relentless God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, thank you for revealing yourself to us through general revelation. We see that in your creative handiwork, and then in special revelation through your Son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, who teaches us that when we know Him, we also know the Father. What an immeasurable gift this is, to think that we can be in relationship with the sovereign God of the universe, and that you know each one of us by name. And that you desire to be intimately involved in our lives. It's really beyond our comprehension. And so we thank you. We thank you for the gift of faith that moves us to believe and accept these things as truth. Equip us and teach us how to live God-centered lives and not indulge in the wickedness of this age by suppressing what truth is. And so, Father, we thank you when you have touched our hearts and revealed these things to us. Then we pray for those for whom this isn't a reality. We're surrounded by folks for who don't buy into this. Sometimes in our own families, sometimes people we work with, sometimes people we do leisure activities with, our neighbors. And so we pray, Father, that you would use us as your instruments. We know that only your Spirit can unlock hearts. We know we can't change people no matter what we try. But sometimes you allow us to be someone that you use in those special situations. And so our prayer is that we are always willing, that we are always available, that we want to be ready, and to use the opportunities that you provide for us. Because when we are in relationship with you, we also want that for others. We know what a joy, what a blessing it is to be able to truly call you our Father. And then, Father, we seek your presence, your blessing, your healing touch on all those with physical needs. And we pray for Larry Dreyer as he has a surgical procedure on Tuesday, for your healing touch for Bob Dickerson and Elaine Iskus, for Lorraine Strading and Jim Verstrat, Tom Noble, Donna Miller, Julie Amon, Robert DeYoung, Ron and Jenny Benedict, Brian Herwire, Kathy Misiak, Ron Osteich, David Shaver, Helen, Tim C., Connie and Mel Vanderwest. And we give you thanks that John Rickaby was able to return home, for the improvements that Jake Vanderhart has experienced, for David Conrad's progress, and that Charlie is back home. And then, Father, we think of all the other stuff. Lots of people even right now are dealing with the colds and flus as that stuff is going away around. Some people always dealing with migraines, others dementia, Alzheimer's, fibromyalgia. There's no shortage of brokenness in this world. And then we think of all the caregivers, from those that are professional to those that are family members and just step in the gap. Will you give them all what they stand in need of, physically but also emotionally? And then we know there's lots of unspoken needs, things that people are dealing with or just kind of keeping to themselves. Others have appointments scheduled even this week, waiting for test results, all of that stuff. Father, will you always be present and uphold and sustain us on the journey of life? And then, Father, we pray for Aria Bosman and Betty Holmes as they adjust to a new environment. And then also deal with the health issues that's part of their lives. We pray for Glenn Bartman and Gladys Kessel as well, one homebound, the other one in a care facility. We remember those with chronic conditions, Larry Rudnick and Barb Eish. And then, Father, for the people that deal with emotional struggles, things like depression and anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar, addictions, all kinds of things that just keep people trapped, that steal the joy out of life, that make things hard, not just for them, but also times for those who are in relationship with them. We pray for your grace. We pray for your strength. We pray that you would surround them with your power. And Father, we pray for relationships. Thank you for relationships. They're a tremendous gift. And we also have to admit that they can be very, very difficult. And so as your people, the onus always falls on us to do it well. And so will you equip us? Will you give us patient spirits? Help us to be tolerant. Help us to be kind and loving, supportive, encouraging. Give us wisdom as we navigate these roads. And Father, create in us a desire to love others as you love us. And we know this isn't easy. It doesn't come natural. But through your equipping, it is possible. And then will you bless us in our relationships? And we're on the threshold of that season of year where there's lots of family interaction, where Thanksgiving is on the horizon, and then Christmas, New Year's, all of that stuff. And some people are already dreading it because of all the family time. Would you go before us and make these rich times where we also honor you in how we engage? And then, Father, we pray for Don Winalda in hospice care. We pray for your strength and grace for him in this season of his life, along with Judy and the other family members, too. Will you sustain them? We think of those who are grieving, and for some, the loss is just really recent. And for others, it might be years ago. Maybe it's an anniversary date, those things that trigger the pain within us. And even when we celebrate that our loved ones are in your presence, we don't grieve for them, but we miss them. Because relationships are a gift. And so we pray, Father, for your comfort, acknowledging that our hope is in you because you are the resurrection and the life. We pray for the prisoners, often called the forgotten people. We thank you for these different outreaches that minister to the prisoners with the good news of who Jesus is. Will you keep blessing that ministry? And we do pray, Father, for those who are incarcerated, that even that hard time would also be a time of reflection and renewal where they would find freedom in you. We pray for our nation, a land that feels so divided. We seek your mercy, and may we as a people uphold our leaders in prayer and also be faithful Christ followers where you have put us. Give us courage to be faithful to your truth as we pray for revival in our land. And Father, we thank you for where your Spirit is working in it. And what we keep hearing is that it's working in the younger generation. We praise you for that. And we pray, Father, that your Spirit will keep doing that and transform lives and help us. Many of us are older people to also be encouragers and supporters and mentors and to be used by you as you see fit. And then, Father, we think of the world, the brokenness in the entire world. We pray for peace, that there could be peace. And we thank you for some of the peace that seems to be happening in the Middle East. And we pray for the peace between Russia and Ukraine. And then, Lord, we know that there's conflict around the globe. Oh, we come to you and we ask for your intervention, for your wisdom. And, Lord, we always know that there won't be true peace till you, the Prince of Peace, rule in all your fullness. But we also know that the local church is the hope of the world and that one of the ways that we can be helpful is also to reach out into our communities and around the globe. And so we pray, Father, for our missionaries, the Bruxfords, the Jensens, the Vlassens, Johannes Beckley in Ethiopia. We pray for these folks where you have placed them and where they are ministering, where they are being faithful to what you have called them to do and be. We pray for persecuted Christians around the globe. And we want to be especially mindful of what our brothers and sisters in Nigeria are experiencing, horrors that we can't even really grasp. Would you give them the strength to stay faithful? Thank you for organizations like the Voice of the Martyrs as they minister to those who are persecuted. In studying Romans 1 this morning, may none of us ever experience your wrath, O God, but may everyone here and those who hear through other means be covered in the life-changing blood of the Lamb of God, your Son, our Savior, the only Redeemer. Holy Spirit, open our hearts as we turn to your word. May there be nothing that would distract us from the truth as we listen to this passage this morning, to listen and to hear what you would teach us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our God by standing to sing number 748. I am his and he is mine. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans. It's page 1600 in your pew Bibles. We're going to read from chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And I encourage you just to keep your Bibles open through the passage and through the message. And I also really, I know we got nice pew Bibles, but I encourage you to bring your own Bibles to church. That way you can write in them, you can highlight, you can underline, you can take some notes. Just makes the scripture relevant to your lives and where you're at. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Dear congregation, the most unpopular characteristic of the Christian God is God's wrath. God's wrath has lost him a lot of followers, a lot of friends. If it wasn't for that, he would be really, really popular. He should have just left that out. Everybody would have liked him, and everybody would have followed him. His love, his kindness, his grace, his benefits, so appealing, and you're in a bind, you quick call him. It's such a nice setup. And then he comes along with this wrath and punishment stuff and really ruins everything. It's a deal breaker. So this morning, we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at what the Bible teaches about God's wrath. And to understand it better, and I know we started reading at verse 18, but to really put this in context, we have to go back to verses 16 and 17. And so that's why I hope you still got your Bibles open. And those were the verses we used 2 weeks ago when it was Reformation Sunday, and this was the foundation for the Reformation. These are the verses that turned things around and transformed Martin Luther's life. So look at verses 16 and 17 with me, and always remember that all through Scripture, grace precedes law. Our God is a gracious God. Grace precedes law. So read 16 and 17 with me. And this is what they say. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel being good news, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Hang on to those two verses as we go through the rest of this chapter. In remembering verses 16 and 17, we are reminded of how desperately we need the righteousness of God, and only God can impute that to us, can give that to us. That cannot come from anywhere else. That's the good news. That's the gospel. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. And the minute you separate that, you no longer have the Bible God, the God of the Scriptures. You have created your own God. Now, God's wrath is incorporated in the Ten Commandments when God declares, I am a jealous God. Most of you probably recognize that our call to worship this morning was that portion of the Ten Commandments, where God says, I'm a jealous God. You have no other gods before me. This passage in Romans really expounds on that. And so looking at verse 18 as a start, it says, the wrath, God's wrath is revealed from heaven. It's from his holy throne room. The sovereign God of the universe. He reigns and he rules. And this stuff should really put us in awe that this God that we worship is not just some God, little God to trifle with, to call when we need him, and the most of the time we just keep him in our pocket for some other time. This is an awesome God, a consuming God, a powerful God. And so who or what is this revealed against? And it's really clear, all godlessness. All godlessness. What is godlessness? It is really a denial of the God of the Bible. And how do I deny him? Well, I can ignore him, I can replace him, I can oppose him, I can mock him, I can disobey him, I can create my own gods. All godlessness. And godlessness fuels wicked people. When people become godless, they become wicked. The things people do when they reject God, and the truth are the key to that, is because when we reject God, we reject truth. And without truth, we really cannot survive. Without truth, we end up with chaotic living. When we suppress truth, everything is distorted. It is impossible to rebel against God and his word and have true harmony in life. Without God and his word as a foundation, everything else is chaotic. So all this is sin. You've noticed we don't hear the word sin very often. That too has become a very unpopular word, and we don't think it really applies to us. But consequently, from this passage we read, his wrath is punishment for sin. That, again, is what makes verse 17 so critical and beautiful. The righteous will live by faith. So this isn't a message that just discourages us and says, oh, woe is me, what will I do? No, it puts everything in perspective. And so from verse 17, it tells us the righteous will live by faith. What faith? Faith in the sacrificed Lamb of God. But sin, all sin, not covered by the blood of the Lamb, leads to eternal damnation. I know those are strong words, but that's the full counsel of God. That's being honest. It leads to eternal death, forever separated from the God that was rejected. Now, the rejecting of God happens in different ways. Sometimes it's complete apathy. I don't want anything to do with it. Other times, distorting the character of God. And probably one of the best tools that Satan uses in our nation is distorting the character of God. God loves everybody. God is a God of love. Just do the best you can. You don't really think he would keep you out of heaven just because you messed up, do you? And some people subscribe to universal salvation. You know what? In the end, I saw a drama once. In the end, everybody wins. It's kind of like the big play, and at the end of the play, when it's over, all the characters come on stage. Well, in the end, in the middle is Jesus and the devil holding hands and everybody else on the side, because in the end, everybody wins. It's okay. It's just a big drama that's been played out and that we are bit players in. That's the great deceiver. Know what you believe and know what you understand. Know what you buy into. But the truth is that those who peddle universal salvation, if they were honest with you, it would be universal damnation. It's God's grace alone that saves us. Now, there's also lots of other false gods, and sometimes you hear this, well, okay, maybe some other countries and some other people have different names for their gods. But if they're doing the best they can and that's who they worship, then who are we to say that they're wrong? That's another lie. There is only one God. Every other god, no matter what name is used, is a false god. And so this godlessness and wickedness stems from distorting the truth. That's why truth is such a foundation to what we believe. And Jesus is really clear. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And when he was in front of Pilate, he told Pilate, the reason I'm here is to testify to truth. And you know that in our culture, in our country, truth is constantly under attack. And many people would try to tell you there is no truth. There is no absolute truth. It's just kind of their social constructs. And what works for me might not work for you, but that's okay. There's all kinds of truth. Don't be so rigid. Come on. We're a pluralistic culture. Where are you coming from? Suppressing the truth is really denying the existence of God and who he is. And this is major. This is really major, and we will be held accountable for that, because God already teaches right from the start that truth is revealed in nature. And if you look in your scripture, verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, okay, Genesis 1, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. That's creation. So that people are without excuse. So that people are without excuse. We are all accountable. God's revelation is all around us. That is why the theory of evolution is such a heinous sin. Because it robs God of the adoration that is due him as the creator of everything and everything that has been designed by him. So the scriptures tell us people can know about God through what is sometimes called general or natural revelation. And it says that, yes, God revealed himself plainly in nature. In nature, we see his eternal, everlasting power, his divine nature. God, this is something we can't get our minds around, that God has no beginning. We can kind of see eternity in the future. It's like, yeah, it goes on and on and on. But to not have a start, our minds can't comprehend that. We cannot get our minds around that. But God is an eternal God, not created. He has always existed. He's an infinite God. And with his attributes, we could be here all morning speaking about the attributes of God and some of the, you know, the fancy words are the omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, all of omni being all comprehensible. All attributes of God that speak to how great he is, the grandeur of him. So when we subscribe to evolution, when we subscribe to a Big Bang theory or any other type of creation story that does not give God the credit and the honor and the glory due him for what he created, we are being godless and wicked. I know those are hard statements, but that is the reality. And whole generations have been indoctrinated with this lie in our government-run schools. And we have actually stood by and said, well, yeah, that's what they teach. I remember talking to a young man, he said, it's really confusing. On Sunday, I recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. He says, but on Tuesday in science class, that doesn't work. So which is it? And what troubled him was that the church was kind of okay with that. As a church, we become so weak because we have not been willing to stand up for truth. We have just compromised with the world. Psalm 14 already says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Nature testifies to God around the globe, the earth, but also throughout the entire cosmos, the universe. Look at the order in creation and creative beauty. Things we're all aware of. Sunrise, sunset, the forest, the flowers, the wild animals, the domesticated animals, the rivers. You ever notice the rivers all flow in the right direction to get either to a lake or to the ocean? It's like, boy, somebody must have designed that. Then there's the waterfalls, the mountains, the oceans, and the rhythm and the symmetry. There's symmetry all around us and consistency. Like, what would it be like if right here in Grand Rapids, water boiled at 212, but if you lived in Detroit, it boiled at 74 degrees. How confusing would that be? See, God is a consistent God. And so we have 24 hours a day. We have 365 days a year. We have four seasons. The season cycle. We know what order they're going to come in. And there's beauty in each season. God is so proud of his handiwork. And so in Psalm 19, verses 1 to 3, I'm going to read that. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. That means there's no place in the universe where their voice that speaks to the grandeur of God is not heard. All creation is fine-tuned. Look at our bodies. The psalmist says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I know we live in a broken world, and so we end up with glasses and dentures and all of that stuff. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's absolutely nothing, nothing that is beyond the complexity of the human brain, and second to that is the eye. There's nothing beyond the complexity of that. Now, a question that is frequently asked is, what happens to those who've never heard about God? And you've all been asked that. And it's kind of presented as a gotcha question. But the reality is, God says, there's nobody that doesn't know about me. There's nobody that doesn't know about me. And the general revelation, nature, points to God, and he says, that should draw people to me. Those who seek me will find me. Those who seek me will find me. And God has different measures for those for whom much has been given and those who not much has been given to. Different levels of wrath or punishment for the lost. There's a real informative little passage in Luke 12. And I'm just going to read it to you. Luke 12, verses 47, 48. Jesus teaching. He says, that servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. It's really a chilling passage, and I say that because we fall in the camp of those to whom much has been given, much will be required. When we reject God, we will deal with a much more severe punishment than those who have never heard of him with the special revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus himself taught in Luke 12. I think it's important to know these things. Now, Romans 1, back to the Romans passage, verse 21, tells us that through nature we know God and are called to glorify and thank him. You know what? That's the main purpose of our being here, is to glorify God and thank him. Everything else is secondary. So when we let other choices draw us away from worshiping him, we put ourselves in danger of his wrath. And this is the importance of worship and why we need to do worship well. And worship isn't just what we do Sunday mornings where we say, well, let's get together for 1 hour and do really well. Worship is a way of life. Worship is what we do 24/7, every day of the week. How we live, how we interact with people, how we use our time, how we're stewards of what's been entrusted to us. Every facet of our life is really called to be worship. And then God says, I just want you to give me, want you to give me your best. And one of the dangers we have is it's easy to become self-centered. And when we become self-centered, we're in essence rejecting God, and it twists our thinking. And the scriptures tell us that our thinking becomes pointless and vain. The search for meaning and purpose in life without God leads to meaningless conclusions, a busyness with no lasting value. You ever feel really busy doing stuff that has no meaning, no significance? In essence, just killing time, or sometimes they say just pounding sand. What you do, how you use your time, are you honoring God with it? Are you just treading water? Our hearts become foolish and darkened when we start to live for ourselves. Another description of godlessness. Darkened hearts buy into the lies and the falsehood of human wisdom. We are drowning in human wisdom in our nation. We are drowning in human wisdom. And many times we don't know the scriptures well enough to know that it's foolishness. And so we buy into it. It's paraded as wisdom and brilliance. I don't know how much time you spend in front of the TV, but the talking heads, they're not all filled with wisdom. That's not all brilliance. There's a lot of foolishness. And we have become a dark nation. John 3, 19 to 21 reads this way. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. That's Jesus. Jesus is the light. But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Come to the light. In our nation, there's more and more hostility towards Christianity because it is the light in the darkness, and the two are not compatible. So where does refusing the light lead? Well, it creates a defiant spirit that then serves other gods. Worship of self and created things. Worship of the earth is really, really big. It's a big religion. Worshiping the earth, saving the planet. Now, we are called to be good stewards. Never deny that. But the earth is not to be worshiped, nor what's in it. And so we have to watch things like the tree huggers and animal worship. And we have to be careful with that when we elevate our pets to human status. We're God's crowning glory. Nothing else is. Nothing else is. And we also shouldn't buy into those kind of things. And then there's other things that people worship. In America, sports is really worshiped. And right now, sports and gambling are getting pretty closely connected. You could almost hold them together. How about simple things, our cell phones and the internet? Does that dominate our lives? Where do we spend more time, on that or spending time with the Lord in Scripture and praying? What dominates our lives? What about, and these are dicey, families and careers? Do they ever become the gods that we worship? What's the litmus test? Anything that dethrones God and put self or something else on the throne is godlessness. And that brings us to verse 24 in Romans 1. Therefore, whenever you see the word therefore in Scripture, always ask, what's it there for? And this always points back to everything that we read from verse 18 on. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires. He gave them over. He said, you want to do it that way? Go ahead. Do it your way. He abandoned them. But the idea here is not just an angry abandonment. It's more a sadness and a grief in God's heart, a sorrowful regret. The picture really is that God is portrayed as a lover who has done all he can, and then the people still choose to ignore him. And he says, hey, now it's on you. Now it's on you. And the word gave them over implies judgment. So inescapable consequences associated with a choice that was made. The deeper people go into sin, more of the wrath of God will be revealed. The pathway of bondage in sin will grow deeper. And the sinful desires of the heart almost always include sexual impurity. The word impurity really is the same word to describe what's found in a grave when you see the decayed matter. That's the word used here. So think about our nation today. The porn industry, including human trafficking, is a $13 billion industry. $13 billion in the U.S. We have gotten to a place where we celebrate stuff which not long ago was totally taboo. Now it's just kind of become part of the culture. And biblically, this is a quaint thought for our culture. What if we pursued lives of purity? What if we pursued lives of purity? Or have we kind of gotten used to living with the impurity too, that it doesn't bother us that much? Only within the bonds of marriage is sex acceptable in God's eyes. This is true for people of all ages. This is true for our teenagers, but this is also true for elderly people who say, well, you know, we'll just go to Florida for a couple months together. It's not that big a deal, and it's cheaper. This is still true for every age. This includes living together. This includes homosexual behavior, same-sex marriage, gender reassignment surgery over what God created and established. And now we're reassigning that and redoing it. This is all degrading our bodies, which belong to God. And some of the phrases we get used to, which are very, very anti-God, is the phrase, my body, my choice. That is a total lie. There is nothing in Scripture that you find that could support that line. My body, my choice. We are not our own. We belong to the one who has redeemed us. Another thing I see quite often now on people's t-shirts, our sweatshirts, is, I am enough. Well, how grandiose is that? No one is enough. Not one of us. And I find it really irritating when I see it. Verse 25 is a conclusive summary statement. God's ways gets exchanged for sin's ways. Truth for a lie, and ultimately, life for death. The end product of worshiping self is death instead of worshiping God. So Romans 1, verses 18 to 25 is a reminder and a warning. And in a way, it's a question. It asks us, do we subscribe to the authority of God's word? Or do we just live life kind of our own way? And doing what we think's best and what we can get away with. Remember, God alone is to be honored and worshiped in how we live. And the loving part is that he did come to rescue us. That's the beauty of verses 16 and 17. I'm going to repeat verse 17. For in the gospel, the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So you decide. Does anyone? Do you have a legitimate excuse to not worship the God of the Bible? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you. These are not warm, fuzzy passages, but thank you for your being so candid and so truthful for us, with us. There's no surprises. You lay it all on the table. And what we're so grateful for is that through Jesus, we don't have to fear these passages when we belong to him. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would convict anyone that hears this, either here or through other means, and who doesn't have the assurance that they're covered in the blood and don't have to fear your wrath. And thank you for that severe warning so that we don't take your word lightly. I pray, Father, that you would use this message in any way you see fit through the power of your Spirit. If there's anything I said that didn't please or honor you, would you delete that from our minds? We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 518, Satisfied. Standing to sing number 518. This time the morning offering will be received. The deacons will wait upon you. pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the gifts you give us, including the candidness of your word and how that instructs us and teaches us through the power of your spirit. Thank you that everything we have is really a gift from you and that you are a benevolent Heavenly Father. Thank you, too, for trusting us to be stewards and then to give back and to give back generously and cheerfully. And so we ask your blessing on these gifts and that you would use them in any way you see fit as we pray it in the name of Jesus, the greatest gift of all. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 793, the first verse, "For the Beauty of the Earth." Receive God's parting blessing. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in his care.